they might be eating. We will start with a prayer on the day of Pentecost. If you can join me, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was and is and ever shall be without beginning, without ending, always ranked and numbered with the Father and the Son. He is life and the giver of life. He is light and the giver of light. All good and the fountain of goodness. Through him, the Father is known. The Son is glorified. Through him, all people proclaim one power, one ranking, one worship of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit is light and life, a living fountain of spiritual gifts, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, all-knowing, upright, and good. He leads us and washes away our sins. He is God, and he makes us gods. He is fire, proceeding from fire, speaking and acting and distributing gifts. Through him, all the prophets, martyrs, and apostles of God are crowned. Strange account, strange and wonderful sight. Fire is distributed for distributing gifts. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. This is your time to ask your questions. I want to make sure that you have time. And one question you asked earlier, I want to make sure everyone hears it. And repeat your question for the sake of everyone, if you don't mind.
All right. Say, if you do not understand on what you are doing, it does not go against any moral beliefs of yours, but you are not aware if it is right or wrong by God or by your own moral beliefs. How can you approach the situation because it feels neither right nor wrong? Do you still repent for that you don't know if it is right or wrong?
Good. What are your thoughts?
That's what the church is for. That's why you come and ask a priest and explain the situation and look for guidance.
Okay. Good. Any other thoughts?
It's in our communion prayer. Forgive us our sins, sin and knowledge are indeed.
Whether by ignorance.
When I I've been here 17 years and our priest did a completely different version. And so to have to change the way, but it's done in knowledge or in ignorance, without intent and everything, so that here.
Yep.
So, have mercy upon me and forgive my transgressions, both voluntary and involuntary, of word or deed, committed in knowledge or in ignorance. So right there, we ask for forgiveness because sometimes we just don't know we did something wrong. Until maybe at a later time, or we may never know we did something wrong, but we know we probably hurt somebody at some point unintentionally.
Okay.
So one thing, when you look in the Holy Scriptures, the Orthodox Bible tells us that Paul himself says, I don't even trust my own heart. I think I'm okay, but I go before God, and God knows and sees all things. He knows there's a lot more going on in there than I know. So I know there are things that I don't know. And every time we draw closer to God and we're illuminated by his divine light, the greater understanding we have. Sometimes we go, oh, I didn't know I was like taking something that was apart from God's holy, perfect will. But then the understanding of what is sin, what is in the Greek word hamartia, what is very important to have the right understanding, because there is this understanding of sin in my early tradition, Islamic tradition. And in that sin is sin as, okay, you're going to do something that Muhammad said was wrong, and then God is basically out in Never Never Land, and he's going to go, okay, you did something wrong, let me come out and lightning bolt right on you, burn you alive right where you're at. Or you might come before God at the judgment seat, and he says, oh, you didn't know that was wrong, no big deal, just go to hell, gone, done. That's the theological understanding that I was raised with, and a version of God that is evil, but we thought was good. We thought it was holy. Misunderstanding what sin is causes a lot of problems. In the early church writings, how they describe hamartia, and when you read what Christ taught, what the apostles taught, and what the bishops after them taught for 1,000 years before some parts of the church split from the rest of the one holy Catholic church, that understanding of hamartia was pointing to a sickness, a disease. It wasn't just as much as you did something wrong, let me punish you, but it was you are made from the beginning with Adam and Eve. God called you Adam and Eve, your children, innocent, pure. You haven't sinned yet, but I have called you to be more. And I have called you to get to know me, to draw near to me, to partake of my nature, to receive of my grace, receive of my Holy Spirit. Adam and Eve, in your pure state, be transformed moment by moment. Go from grace to grace in order to become all that you're meant to be, which is as gods. What Jesus talked about, what the apostles talked about, he says you're to become as gods. Now, it doesn't mean gods in the sense of blasphemy. We don't mean gods like in his essence, but by his uncreated energies, by the grace of God, we are transformed to become more like Jesus. Jesus Christ himself was fully God, fully man. When he came down, he descended, and he allowed himself to be born in the Holy Theotokos, the God-bearer, the Virgin Mary. And Virgin Mary said, yes, your will be done, Lord. In this transaction, in this union, in this holy relationship, when God became man and he dwelt with us, he brought man to say, here's how perfect humanity lives, Jesus. When you look at Jesus, this is perfect man. This is the normal man. And this is interesting. He is the normal man. We are the abnormal when we are in hamartias, in these sicknesses. Anything that keeps you from becoming who I'm meant to be in Christ is abnormal. Anything that is like Jesus is normal. Psychology will tell us many times, I know because I've studied a lot of different schools of psychology, and they almost will limit man to this limited stance on the earth. And they will never, hardly ever point to Jesus Christ as being the perfect man and saying, I'm to become more like him. Rather, what is right with you? You know, if you think it's right with you, let it be. Okay, I'm not here to judge you. I'm just a counselor. I won't say a word about it. And I can't say a word if I want to keep my license by the government granted to me. But in Orthodox counseling, in Orthodox theology, we say Jesus Christ is fully God, fully man. I'm called to be as him. So anything that takes me away from him is hamartia. For example, we came to church today. Maybe there was a struggle. I'm getting up, and maybe I'm groggy. I didn't have a good sleep last night. And I'm like, I just don't feel like going to church. You know what? I just got Jesus. Jesus is there with me. I don't have to come to church, you know. I'll just do this thing by myself. I'll open my Bible, I'll put on a TV, YouTube channel, and I'm done. And that's a form of hamartia. I didn't know that would be taking me away from a means of grace that God has for me to come to be blessed. Now, if I'm sick as a dog and I cannot make it, and there are people that do that, they'll go, I'm so sick, I can't afford not to be in church. So I'm sick, I'm going to force myself and come to church. Why? I need the grace of healing. The grace of healing that's available in Holy Communion will often heal, physically and spiritually. So I come. Some will say, well, I don't want to give it to anybody else. Let God take care of some things. If you've got this horrible disease that's going to be given to everybody else, okay, maybe I'll stand back a little bit, limit my touch, if I'm worried about that, and that's understandable. But if I'm sick to the point, like let's say, you know, my leg is broken, and I can't walk, and I don't have anything to even take me, and I can't even get in the car, and I can't ask for help, then I say, well, I can't make it. There's no way. Now, God, in his incredible mercy, in the mercy-filled heart that he has towards us, I understand where you're at. I'm calling you to this greater path, which is in Jesus Christ, but maybe you are where you are. You just need to rest at home. He will be merciful. He's not going to come down like the God of Islam that I was taught in. Lightning bolt because you're not in church. No, rather it says, I love you. I love you. I'm here. I'm the great physician. I want to heal you from being abnormal to becoming normal like Jesus. I want you to become as God. I want you to become transformed by the grace of God. And you are not, this is a means, and this is a medicine I'm giving for you. Medicine of immortality. But I'm at home and I'm sitting there and a fun show comes on. I don't know what your fun show might be. We like to watch a comedy show. I'm forgetting the name right now. What's that? Dick Van Dyke. Dick Van Dyke comes on and we say we're going to watch it. I can spend time, not saying it's always going to be that intense, but in some ways, I can choose to spend time in the scriptures. I can choose time to pray in Jesus' prayer. I can choose time to come with God. Or I can say, you know what, I just want to tell you, it's okay, just 30 minutes to vegetate a little bit in front of Dick Van Dyke show. It's no big deal. That might be a big deal for me. I might need to watch out for this hamartias. As I draw near to God, as he's transforming me to become more like Christ, I'm so abiding in him that at some point, this is going to be shedded from me, and I'm not going to really enjoy Dick Van Dyke anymore. I'm going to enjoy just being in God's presence. But until I get there, and most of us are not there, I'm going to every now and then maybe put on a Dick Van Dyke show and watch something or watch the news, right? And really get wholesome stuff out of it. God help you if you try that. Sometimes I try to measure like everything in my day, different things that I'm working on, and then I'm so okay, I spend maybe 2 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours in prayer, study the scriptures, and I spent 2 hours in the news. And I'm like, what happened to me when I was watching the news? What happens when I was getting the news? When I was, you know, just listening to even my favorite podcaster, who's a Christian guy and presenting the good news and all that, right? And then versus the 4 or 5 hours that I was in prayer, spending time with the Word of God. And I noticed that in the time with the Word of God, I become more normal. I become more like Jesus. I'm able to shed away some of this hamartia, this shedding away the skin that's keeping me, the besetting sin that's keeping me from actually fulfilling my highest destiny. And then the other stuff gets my mind going and I get all riled up and then I start going, what's wrong with the world? How I'm going to make everything right and how I need to have this person in charge of this country and how I'm going to fix the world and all of this. And instead of saying, God, you are in charge. Your perfect will is holy. I want to just trust your will and I want to abide in me. I want to take care of what I can in me. First purify my heart, then I'll overflow that grace and I'll do what I can. Maybe if I can do something, I can have enough knowledge in order to know how to vote properly maybe. Okay, great, I'll be a good citizen. But most of the time we'll spend hours and hours and hours and hours every day. This is a public confession. I'll spend hours and hours and hours every day maybe getting information from different angles. And I'm like, I got the main point after about 2 minutes. I didn't need to spend 4 hours on that. So I'll say, that's my hamartias. As I go to confession before Christ, and I say, Lord, forgive me. I want to confess before you that I was distracted. And there were times in my life I was distracted. But you think just then, there's another form of hamartia in church. I'm here, the prayers are being said. Every word is meant to be focused. My whole thoughts move to my heart, Jesus Christ being exalted. I'm meant to focus, like right now, this prayer that we pray. Oh, Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, right? Every word is meant, I'm meant to have my whole being in the spirit of grace, in the spirit of prayer. But guess what? Just like you, I get distracted. I lose focus. I get tired. I start thinking about the cares of this world. I think about maybe some financial thing or some work issue going on or some relational issue. Something else is going in my thought instead of focusing on Jesus Christ in my heart and allowing every word by the power of the Holy Spirit to transform me. So that's a hamartia. I didn't know I was sinning. Well, I was. But sinning defined as the scripture teaches us, as the Holy Spirit has taught us to 2,000 years. Thoughts?
St. Aloysius described it as being in a warm, in your home by a warm fire, wandering outside into the rain without a coat and wondering why you're cold. So that's the comparison.
See, being warm by a fireplace versus being outside
and
cold.
Being in our home, warm by a fire.
Yes, yes.
That's what it is to be in prayer and communion.
Yes, 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 yes.
They said that when we go away from that, it's the equivalent of us walking outside without a coat in the rain, and wondering why we're cold.
Yes. I like it.
Yeah.
And that's St. Paisios. For some of you who don't know what we call as saints in Orthodox, basically it's Hebrews 11. We're heroes of our faith. People who've lived the faith, and to their last breath, they remain faithful in Jesus Christ. That's the summary of it. Sometimes it's also more. They were so enveloped by the grace of God that their lives were a great example unto us. They kept the faith purely. They didn't change the theology. They didn't embrace heresy. We were talking and just earlier, there is a pastor that used to mean a lot to me, and he had a really great teaching. And his son is now a famous pastor in Atlanta, and he teaches a lot of things. But at one point, a couple of years ago, I was shocked to watch that he's bringing transvestites into church to teach youth ministers in other churches to embrace that which is sexually abhorrent, that which is destructive, that which is really hamartia galore, exponential, to destroy the souls of men, and even to teach parents, saying, you have to promote this in your child's life if your child kind of goes this way. Said, okay, just let him have it, let him go and encourage it. And I'm thinking, wow, you were the conservative Baptist guy. How did you become a mega church pastor and now teaching this to other kids? This is beyond thought. So it is important to be abiding in that grace. And the reason I bring this up, because the saints of the church, they struggle. They fall down. They get back up. What Orthodox calls saints are those who struggled. They fell down. They get back up. But at their last breath, they were continuously in the grace of God. They abided in the grace of God. They didn't abandon the faith and embrace some sexual perversion or some other heresy of any kind and say, okay, but I'm still a Christian and I'm dying in sin. No, they're dying with the grace of God. And many times our saints are, they might even be what is known as neptic fathers. That is where they move their thoughts into their heart to exalt Jesus Christ with every breath. So just like right now, we've talked about this a little bit. When the heart is beating unconsciously, I'm not thinking my heart is beating. I'm not thinking, okay, I got to make sure my heart beats. I got to make sure, and if I don't do it, it won't beat. No, what happens? If that happens, I have a heart attack and die. That's not a good thing, right? But for the saints, the neptic fathers, those who are hesychasts, those who are transformed by the grace of God, these neptic fathers, they actually move their thoughts to their hearts. So unconsciously, they're constantly exalting Jesus Christ with their whole being regularly. And as they are, they're being transformed so much that they're actually defeating demons. They will have actual, literal, that they've written in their experiences later on, they've had literal spiritual battles with demons of darkness. And we have their writings to tell us some of those things that happen. But often when they're going through it, they won't say a word. They'll just go through it. And if you ask them, they'll say, oh, I'm nobody. Why would the demons attack me? But then later on, you find out they were attacked by legions of demons of every kind. But they overcame them constantly. And then there were those who were overcoming. And then sure enough, a demon came in one form or another, and they fell. And they refused to repent. And if they do, they're not a saint anymore. They need to repent in order to come back to the grace of God. Why? Because this is the normal human being, the one that's in Christ, and the abnormal. We don't exalt the abnormal as a saint in the church. The saints have proven themselves to be heroes of our faith. Yes.
Would they not tell anyone about the spiritual warfare they're dealing with because they don't want to succumb to pride as well?
Yes. Yes. Good point. So one thing that he just said, and I'm saying this for the recording because some people don't get to be present right now also, that one of the challenges that our saints have revealed for 2,000 years, wonderful, they have revealed because it helps us, right? When they have a supernatural miracle happen, maybe like some of our saints, they literally have somebody die, they go, they pray, the person's raised from the dead. That's a pretty big deal, right? You would think somebody's dead, they're raised from the dead, and then they would go, shh, don't tell anybody. Why? Because I don't want to be filled with pride. I don't want people to come to me and say, oh, you great thing, you raised from the dead. Let me throw millions of dollars to you, and let me give to your ministry, and let me have you have private jets, and none of that. They actually say, shh, just quiet. Just move on. Keep going. Why? Because they know they can succumb to pride, and if you do, you've lost the most important battle, and you've now entered the kingdom of hell, the kingdom of Satan. You don't want that. They want to make sure that they're always drawn in the grace of God, and God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So what do we do? They want to abide in that. Very different than what you see in these mega ministries where they're like, okay, come forward, everybody. I've got this super powerful gift. And then they'll have somebody speak to the microphone in their ear, and nobody will know it. And somebody is whispering down, hey, that person, I was in the parking lot. that person is not actually sitting in a wheelchair. I put them in the wheelchair, but they're not really sick. Bring them forward. Let me bring them forward. Okay, and then you raise it and say, okay, that's the one on the third row, second on the left. Okay, go right there. Put your hand on them and make it look like they just got fake healing, right? And the person gets up, oh, hallelujah, and everybody is thinking you're praising God. And you know what's the worst part? The demons that deceive this person that's doing it, they say, I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it to raise people's faith. Instead of, God doesn't need your help to raise people's faith. Trust me. He's superpowered. If he wanted to, he could just come down, make himself visible, and heal everybody. Obviously, he doesn't do it. There's a purpose. He knows what we need more than we do. He says, stay humble, stay humble, stay humble, stay humble. Humility is so, so vital for our saints. Every one of our saints have shown themselves to be humble, especially in their last breath. Every one of them. Because without that, you cannot receive grace. You cannot abide in grace. And in John 1, the Bible clearly tells us, you're to go from grace to grace. It's never you're to go from grace to pride or from grace to self-exaltation. So wonderful, wonderful. I love your questions and I love your comments. Thank you.
You mentioned humility. What is true humility versus, I guess to say, feeling down or depressed about what you're doing? Mm-hmm. What is true humility? So you keep repeating the same sin over and over again, actively knowing that you're doing it. And afterwards, you do repent, but yet you don't feel so depressed, but yet you repent and you know what you've done is wrong. What is true humility at that point?
So how do you differentiate between humility and depression?
Yeah, sadness.
Being a depressed state. How do you differentiate? Good question. How do you differentiate? What are your thoughts?
I don't feel like humility has anything to do with being depressed. Because I feel like if you're in a state of humility, it's more just like as in you're accepting your place. Like, you know, none of us come close to Christ, God, and the vast majority of us won't be saints. And when you're saying that to me, like I'm short. I'm not humble when for me to say that I'm short. It's just what I am. So it's, I feel like humility is more just accepting and being comfortable with what you are and what God made you. You have your strengths, you have your weaknesses, but that doesn't mean that now I got to beat my chest and be like, you know, I'm good at this thing and then hang my head in sorrow and be like, I can't reach the top shelf. You know, it's like, it's just accepting you are what God made you, and you're made in the image of God, and you're trying to be more like Christ each day, and that's what I think, and you're just humbly moving forward and accepting what you are. But I feel like when you're in, like, depression would be more of a state of maybe focusing heavily on your faults, your failures, understanding you're not what you could be, and trying to just wallow in it, as opposed to saying, yeah, I failed this time, but that means that I get the opportunity to try again. And that when I finally try, when God finally delivers me to triumph over this sin, it'll be all the sweeter. There's no such thing as I failed, I just haven't succeeded yet. I guess that would be like the difference is that, you know, yeah, depression is kind of like a loss of hope almost, and that in itself is sinful. Like, and I wouldn't say that as like, you know, then it'd be like, oh, now I'm a double sinner, I need to feel extra bad. But it's just kind of one of those deals of, like, if you feel, yeah, I guess that would be what I'm literally thinking as I'm speaking. But, yeah, I guess it would just be as, like, when you start feeling like you're a double sinner. Like, you know, I committed that sin, and now I'm just going to wall. Well, now you're double sinning. And it's just, you need to recognize, like, no, it's time to pull myself out of the pigsty and start trying to get back to Father's house. Yeah. And no, I don't deserve it. Yeah.
So the question is, the difference between humility and being in a depressed state. Number one is a mystery. I don't want to sit here and say I've got the answers for you. Every one of us can be different. You might be in a place where you are truly humble, and yet you would think you're being depressed. When you read the lives of our saints of the last 2,000 years, you will find there are times when the demons attack them so strongly. They're demons specifically for dejection, for depression, that are specifically guiding this, attacking this saint in their battle to be closer to Christ, to become normal like Christ. That person is begin attack with all kinds of depressive rejections. So at that moment, you would think, well, you're not humble if you're depressed. Actually, that saint is exactly where they need to be. Christ himself has allowed himself that this person to go through what they're going through because he has something else in mind. He doesn't want them to abide in that state of dejection, but he says you need to fight these demons, literal physical demons. One difference between Orthodoxy and a lot of other denominations, we actually do believe there's literal Satan, there are literal demons, these are beings, they're not just like the Buddhist kind of an existential manifestation of evil in the air kind of thing. They're literal beings that are angels that have fallen down, and they're battling to destroy us, to not have us fulfilled, to become like Jesus. They want to do anything they can to keep us away from that. So they will attack with dejection, with depression, in order to what? To say, I want you to abide in this darkness, and I want you to fight this so much, to get so overwhelmed with this, that you just give in to the demons of darkness. Versus, how do I know if I'm humble? Learn from the saints. What did they do? They say, I'm going through this battle. I enter into my heart with Jesus' prayer. I exalt Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. I focus on Jesus, not on what the demons are whispering to me. In the Greek term, there's something called logismi. These thoughts of depression are coming at me, and I go, you know what? The first thing the saints would do, because they've taught us, this is what I do. They said, I kind of send that thought up in the air, kind of like you might a satellite out there or an airplane flying 40,000 feet up in the air. I just take this thought and go up there. I don't even pay attention. First thing. But sometimes that there's something dark inside in the periphery of their hearts where Satan is hiding, where the demons are hiding. And so they know there's a darkness there, and God is allowing this in their life to show that there's something deep inside. They need deeper repentance, deeper cleansing of unrighteousness. The physician needs to heal them. So this dejection is a gift from God to allow them to go through this in order to come to more normal sight, to become more like Jesus Christ. So they embrace this path of depression by saying, this is not the end. For the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. For the joy set before the saint, he endures this cross, this suffering with Jesus Christ, and in order to become the saint that he's meant to be. For all of us are called to be saints. All of us are called to be like Jesus. None of us can accept this is a permanent state. So humility would say, I'm falling down. What do I do?
Bye.
Bye.
Sorry, I'm
interrupting.
Same
cross.
I'm interrupting. Don't forget next week to record
fun
Bible study.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. See you guys. Stay out of trouble.
Have fun.
I'm going to have a magical time.
So in this reality of this, of what is the difference between humility and dejection, I would say it's a mystery, because sometimes there's a process someone is going through. We cannot immediately go in and say, I've got to get help to get out of this. Maybe I got to get help to go through it rather than just get out of it. Maybe this is a gift from God. However, what do I know when he's not humble? If I'm in this state of darkness and I accept this darkness as permanent, and I don't accept there is the divine light of grace, and then I'm going to get through this, then I've gone into a dark place that I need to repent. True humility would say, I don't accept this as permanent. And in the church, what God has taught us in the Bible, Ephesians 5, and in the practice of the church, we go to before the cross, which we talked about last week a little bit. I go for confession as an Orthodox Christian, and I confess to Jesus Christ, I'm going through this time of darkness. These demons of darkness are attacking me. I'm having these projections. I'm not just letting them go up 40,000 foot in the air, but I'm actually allowing them, and they're getting deeper in my heart. And I confess, and God has an ordained minister, that by the grace of God, someone who will listen as a confessor before me confessing before Jesus Christ, and I'll confess. And this person might simply put a shawl over me and remind me of the grace of God that I'm forgiven and go forward again, get up again. Or God might give this person some wisdom to help me to get through the next step in order to be healed.
I was just thinking as you were saying that, I think part of depression is evidence of the existence of pride in our heart. Because
sometimes,
if you're depressed, I'm sitting here, I'm down on myself. Like, I shouldn't be doing these things. I should be better than this. You have this idea of myself, like, I should be this great thing. I'm a worm. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a human being, without God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the lowliest demon can just squish me like an ant. And it's only through his grace that I'm able to stand up and do anything at all. So as I'm sitting here wallowing, depressed, of, oh, I fell again, it's because I have this prideful idea of myself that I'm something more than I am. And God's blessing me with this repeated fault so that I can be humbled. If he wanted to just show up and just be like, and you're, you know, no struggle for you, this, I'm removing your temptation and your willing, your desire for this sin, well, that's like trying to have muscles without actually picking up anything heavy. So really, as you're in this repeated sin that you keep falling over and over again, you're depressed because you're focusing on your own pride and your own ego, thinking, I should be able to triumph over this. Whereas if you had the mindset of, this is a blessing for me to grow spiritually, and I'm going to just continue to put faith in God that he's going to see me through this, it'll probably go away. That's just like, I'm totally spitballing.
Okay.
And keep in mind, too, I'm an idiot. So.
Thank you for confirming that.
Yeah. I mean, I did it twice.
All of us are.
Yeah, once by speaking and then by confessing.
Thank you for that wonderful word, really. Thoughts, Felix? Simon?
I think he's kind of right in regards to depression coming from when we're focusing on ourselves. I can't remember which saint he was in particular said. He said this, it could have been Saint Paisios, but he said that whenever we're depressed, what we should do is reach out and help people, like do good works for our community, because depression comes from focusing too much on ourselves. If we're able to extend an arm and help our community, do good works and help, you know, help the poor, do whatever that's not focusing on ourselves, then it will see that depression flee from us. Now, I forget which saint.
Yes. So one of the examples was from a saint that was maybe giving counsel to someone and saying, if you're depressed, for you specifically, it might, at this point, to get out of this, God is giving grace, illumination of the Holy Spirit, saying for you to get out of it is to actually help other people, and it will help you get out of it. For someone else, it might be the opposite. That person might be spending so much time of giving of themselves so much that they're burning out. And for them, the saint, the spiritual counselor might say, actually, for you, you need to reduce how much time you're spending in giving to others. You need to don't think of yourself too highly and think of yourself as super, as God, or think of yourself as if though you're already perfectly like Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Spirit. You're actually not there. You need to reduce some of the time you're spending in order to keep going to the next step. Yes.
And I can understand how that would work as well for someone else, even say for me, where I wake up some days and it's not controllable. For me being diagnosed like that, to where it is uncontrollable some days, I can tell you.
Yes.
Just to keep pushing forward is really what helps. And now, as far as depression and pride goes, yes, like my question, when you sin over and over again, keep doing the same one, but I don't understand how that would correlate with days where it's uncontrollable. It's completely uncontrollable, so all I can think of during those days is just to pray the entire day.
So if there are demons attacking, would you think you would control? You'd be controlling the demons that they're projecting or something? Or if they're deep inside of me, embedded hamartia, sin, sinful thoughts that are part of my physical being. The saints actually talked about this. It's not just in my thoughts, but it's actually part of my physical being. It's become part of my chemical interaction in my being. And that, I might get up and feel it's completely out of control. But there is something going on, and God wants to cleanse me out of it. So there are definitely many forms of it, but one of them can be. And the church teaches this, and the Holy Spirit has guided us. Sometimes they're so biochemically part of your being, part of your physical being, that you need to be cleansed of this. However, we don't just say, just pump some drugs into somebody and they'll get out of it. Many people have gotten into trouble. They pump some drugs into them and they actually get worse. They go out, they commit mass murder or suicides, and that's horrible. That is not the only answer. But there is a time when sometimes someone will say, this will help you get through this. I know a friend of mine, by the way, he goes through challenging times of depression, and he went to a godly Christian counselor, a wonderful guy, and he told him, I'm going to give you a small dose of this, but I'm not going to leave you alone with this also. We're also going to have regular counseling. We're going to get your thoughts reframed. We're going to bring you back to spiritual grace to heal, and over time try to reduce you so you don't need this chemical as much. But that, to me, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Rather than you go to someone by the license that the government has given them, they say, I can only give you this a prescription, you go fill this out, and if it works, it works. It doesn't work, it doesn't work. That's what I've been licensed to do, and if I don't follow my licensing, my license will go away, my means of money goes away, and I'm done. That's a problem for them. But for the Orthodox, we have more than just a license to worry about.
See, that's what they try to do with me, is just give me a pill and then tell me, find a happy place in your head, and that's it. So.
I think someone should, I think someone should mention that the root word of pharmacy is pharmakia, which is Greek for witchcraft. I just wanted to say that.
And also, too, you just might want to keep your mind growing. You're just going through a really rough time right now. That could be it, too. I mean, where does sadness end and depression begin? I mean, because...
I have no clue, because it's been like this for, like, 10 years now.
Okay.
10 years, it's like every other day it's something different for me. Like, there are days that I just don't understand why I would wake up and I'm being attacked the way that I am, in a sense. I don't mean to bring all this onto me, but I do have questions on, you know, other than just in continuous repentance and prayer and keep moving forward, what more can I do?
Okay.
Just keep going?
Keep going. Keep.
Same answer.
Sometimes you have some thoughts, yes.
As a holistic practitioner,
yes.
Who's just a little more sad, but a lot of that comes from it's a physical issue, not so much. I mean, we do it when we're not. We have to carry this meat suit everywhere we go, right? But no one in the medical field today is really feeding that. They're not helping us take care of their bodies. They're giving us the witchcraft. They're giving us the pharmakia, and what really comes down to is a mineral deficiency. Has anyone ever told you about that?
For some,
no.
Yes.
For some, yes. It's not a bandage for everybody. But daily minerals, we don't get any of that in our food anymore. It's gone. It's been stripped out of our soil, out of our food. And there's, I'll talk with you after.
Yes.
I'll send you something. It's great. I take it every day. Because I have severe depression in my family. And bipolar. So... But if you don't have the minerals and you don't know that you need them, it's really hard to get over that. You know, it's really hard to, I mean, you're right. You can't just take this and what about your body? You're doing the spiritual. You know, you're doing what your doctor's saying to do for your mental. But what are you feeding your body? We are mind, body, and spirit.
There is a doctor, medical doctor named Sherry Rogers. She wrote a book on overcoming depression. I think it was 600 pages, if I remember correctly. And in it, she went through a lot of the scientific data that she said, none of this has been taught to me in my board. She has 4 board certifications. So none of us has been taught in this. I have to lie on my test to pass my certifications. And then I actually have to help my patients the way they will help them. So in this book, she talks about some of what you just mentioned also. There are certain minerals and vitamins that are missing in our body, and they need to be replenished. They need to be maybe super filled in our bodies. And for you specifically, there might be something like that. And physically, that will help overcome. Spiritually, that can also, you can combine the physical and nutrition that you need, the vitamins and minerals that you need, the organic healing that you might need, with the spiritual healing that you need to grow in the midst of this.
Okay.
And definitely take one small step at a time. Realize maybe... For some of our saints, to their last breath, they struggled. They were struggling, but they were growing in grace. In the middle of their struggle, they were healing hundreds of thousands of people. In the midst of the deep struggles they had with the demons, in various ways. In fact, there is a book where it's called Talking Back, Antiretikos in the Greek. And in this, there are 500 Bible verses. One section is devoted to the Bible verses to help fight the demons of dejection. These verses to memorize in our being so that we can help fight the demons that come at us in this area. Others are demons of lust and other areas that riches, which is pretty big in our nation right now, this love of riches, love of money. And so how do you battle this battle? You don't have preachers get up and say, everybody's got to become rich. Everybody's got to become completely without any sickness in order to actually be a true Christian. Is exact opposite what Christ taught us and what the scriptures teach us. Good questions. I love it. Very practical, very important. Any thoughts? Any questions? What has been helpful to you so far? What is God revealing to you so far? Any thoughts? I don't mean to put you on the spot, just asking. I know it's your first time here. You're not.
That I'm not what I thought I was.
You're not what I not. I was not. I'm not what I thought I was. Yes, Simon.
That a lot of stuff around us is not real.
Okay. Can you explain that a little more? A lot that's around us is not real.
So, I don't want to make this about me, but with my background in media, news, and such. Talking to Father about this before I came here, this past Friday, actually, where I was talking to him, and I was telling him that I've talked to so many people that get swept up in this vortex that is the modern world, and they can't see beyond their daily lives, or they can't see beyond politics, and they can't make friends with anyone, you know, despite whatever they say about tolerance or whatever they say about being open to everyone. They're not, you know. And it made me think about where I was at. Like, how often have I done that in my life? When I said one thing but did another. Mm. Where I said that I was open to someone, but I really. So, you know, it's not necessarily about fake people, but it's about just, I think, everything around us trying to pull us away from Christ, who is the ultimate reality. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think was being revealed to me lately.
Thank you.
I'd say coming to church. This place has felt like my home. Can't wait to get through my work day just to get here. It's like that childhood nostalgia when you're a little kid going to like Thanksgiving and Christmas at like your aunt and uncle's house. Every week I get it when I come here.
Yes, yes. And you do bring up a point that I really wanted to share part of our study today. And that is, if being normal is to be like Jesus, anything that will draw me near to Christ to fulfill my highest destiny should be my highest priority. I should do everything else in my life around this priority rather than saying, well, it's more important that I go make all this money and then, well, okay, I'll get to that church stuff maybe for an hour and then I'll take off, make sure I do something else. And I'll go back to making money or whatever else might be the cares of this world. Where the prayers in divine liturgy, you heard, this beautiful prayer that's been given is, I'm casting all my cares away as I'm coming to partake of the Holy Communion, partaking of the body and blood of Christ. I want to be one with Christ, to be one with the Holy Trinity. That is my calling, to be what? This is the normal in Christ. To be like Jesus is normal. To be anything less than that is abnormal. So if that's the case, then I want to make sure that if coming to church, and it is a place where, for the Orthodox, this is not just a physical building. This is a place where heaven and earth are meeting together. Christ is here. The angels are here. The saints are here. We are here joining together, heaven and earth uniting, to worship God together, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be translated outside of time and space, to experience God more fully in our whole being, in our hearts, and to overflow that with grace to one another. If this is the place that I can be given that in order to make me more like Christ, then this should be my highest priority, and I should work everything else around this. So when the church has feast days, and people that are raised Orthodox, you will see that. Church will have time of Lent and Holy Week. They'll say, that's my vacation time. You're like, what? Yes, I'm taking my vacation time that time so I can be in Holy Week and I can be in church every day praying with the church and being transformed. I'm like, wow, you really know how to prioritize. I had to learn. I was really shocked that people would do that. I go, that's really, they said, yeah, that's the way you're supposed to live. What do you mean? You don't live that way? No, vacation, I go to Disney. You know, I just, what do you mean spend more time with God? But these people did it. And I thought it was wonderful. They taught me just by their examples of how they live. How can I do that more often? How can I make sure when there's Vespers prayer on Saturday at 5 p.m., I can come? What? Just because this is where I'm getting to become more human, more like Christ. For the Orthodox, by the way, to become more like Christ is to become truly human. I'm made in God's image. I'm to be transformed in order to become more holy, to become more one, to become what Jesus said, perfect as my Father in heaven. That's what I'm called to be. Anything else is just settling for less. And settling for less can be to the point of hell. I could be in darkness forever and ever. Now imagine someone going through a time of depression here for maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, and yet constantly getting back up, following Christ, getting back up, following Christ, getting back up, coming, receiving the grace of God. They come before the Lord, and the Lord said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have done well. Now enter into the joy of the Lord. There is no more depression for you forever. And every time you suffered with me, not just suffered because of your flesh, you gave it to Christ, you became more like Christ. Every time is a blessing, reward, eternal rewards for you. Now watch this new body I'm going to give you, full of divine light, that you can receive so much illumination of the grace of God to experience what it means to be as God's in Christ Jesus. This is your blessing. And God has that for all of us, whatever we're going through. And then others that might go, you know what, I've been suffering maybe 15 years. 15 years of suffering is too much. My leg hurts too much. My body hurts too much. My mind hurts too much. And I do something crazy. I kill myself, or I kill somebody else, or I just give up on God and I go and, you know, get drunk and just go, okay, you know, whatever. It doesn't do anything. It just keeps me in a state of hell. And now I experience hell here. And if I don't repent, and I stay in that state, now I go far from where I'm meant to be, and I go into hell, in this state of hell forever and ever. This would be worse, to be deeply depressed without any control, and ever, ever, and ever. And unfortunately, there are some people that get to this place, and they think, somehow if I get rid of my life here, somehow if I can stop this, that this will make me better. No, they don't realize I'm going to get a trillion times worse. So, no, I don't want to live this life that way. I want to live it by coming to God. And say, what Satan means for evil, Genesis 50:20, God means for good. I'm going to trust him in the midst of this. I'm going to trust that he has not given me anything beyond what I'm able to handle with his grace. Without his grace, I can't handle it. With his grace, I can. So all I have to do is say, I get back up, I'm going to follow Jesus. I get back up, I'm going to exalt him. I'm going to move my thoughts to my heart, and I'm going to keep drawing near to him. And that's why it's so important today. We have this beautiful icon to represent this gift of the Holy Spirit, the Pentecost. That's a real historical event that we read about in Acts chapter 2. We read the scriptures today. Without the Holy Spirit, I cannot do anything. With the Holy Spirit, I can do all things. And Christ himself says, I have to go away from you so I can send you the Holy Spirit. It's an incredible gift, the Holy Spirit. So I want to seek the prayers that we just read, and I'll read some more of these prayers. We want to pray this prayer constantly because I need the Holy Spirit in me. If at any point I think I'm so intellectually great, I've read so many things, I have so much knowledge that I don't need him and I'm filled with pride, that's when I'm far from God and I've gone to the dark side. And I better repent and come back before it's too late for my soul. So regularly I have to make the choice. I'm choosing to say, this is the wonderful time of the day, the feast of the Pentecost, that right now we're going to start experiencing week after week after week, saying, Holy Spirit, come. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I need God, the Holy Spirit. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. And Christ has given us this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father as one with God to make me one partakers of God's divine nature. I'll read this prayer and pray as you pray this prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now the comforting Spirit has been poured out on all flesh, spreading grace to the faithful, beginning with the choir of the apostles. As a pledge of his mighty coming, he distributed tongues of fire. He gave them to the disciples to the praise and glory of God, spiritually enlightened in our hearts, strengthened in faith by the Holy Spirit. Let us earnestly pray for the deliverance, the salvation of our souls. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Now the apostles of Christ are clothed with power from on high. The Comforter is renewed in them and renews them with the newness of knowledge. They preach in foreign tongues, proclaiming mystical knowledge in lofty words. They teach us to worship the benefactor and God of all in his simple, eternal, tripersonal nature. Enlightened by their teaching, let us bow down to worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, earnestly praying for the salvation of our souls. And let us glorify the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen. Clarifying what it means to be saved, biblically speaking, if you look at everywhere the word saved is mentioned, it's not just about, I said this one magical prayer 40 years ago, it is done. Salvation is salvation of my whole being, body, soul, mind, heart, my whole being to become like Jesus. That's true whole salvation. We don't need to put a wall of separation in order to say, well, that was back then and I'm done. I've got a special magical card like Monopoly. I can get out of jail free. I can get out of hell and I'm done. And no, it's about I'm going to go from grace to grace and I'm always in need of Christ. I'm always in need of the Holy Spirit in order to become truly human like Christ. And I want to receive all the means of grace that is given us for that. Thank you very much. Let's pray that God gives increase to our time. If you have other questions, feel free to email me. If you have other thoughts, email me. I'd be glad to include them in our studies. And I'm really thankful that you make this as interactive as possible. It's a blessing. And for me to be blessed with God's grace as you're asking those questions. And hopefully he blesses you at the same time.